You know, the devil's always on our trail, isn't he? He's always on our trail. There's a lot of different ways he is. But God's at our back also. David lived a life of stress. A life of total stress all of his life. And in the 26th chapter of the book of 1 Samuel, we're going to see how God took care of him, yet he was always in trouble. Satan was on his trail all the time. Satan was on Job's trail. Satan was on Solomon's trail. Satan's on our trails all the time. 26 and verse number 1. Then the Ziphites came to Saul at Gibeah and said, "Is not David in the hill of Hakiliah, which is before Jeshiom?" So Saul arose and went down to the wilderness of Ziph, and having with him 3,000 chosen men of Israel to search for David in the wilderness. Why is he going after David? David had a chance to kill him several times already, and he let him go. And he said, "I'll never do it again. I won't do it again. I won't do it again." But the devil was on Saul's trails. The devil was always in his head. Mm-hmm. I remember an old song, an old cowboy song, about Texicans. They said Texicans. He said, "Well, everybody else is in bed asleep. A Texican's up figuring out what he's going to get into next." They attributed them to like devils. Rough country, rough people. Saul camped in the hill of Hachilah, which is before Jeshimon, beside the road, and David was staying in the wilderness. When he saw that Saul came after him into the wilderness, and David sent out spies, and he knew that Saul was definitely coming. David then arose and came into the place where Saul had camped. And David saw the place where Saul lay, and Abner the son of Ner, the commander of his army. And Saul was lying in a circle of the camp, and the people were camped around him. He's in the middle of the camp. He's in the middle of all the campground here, and where they're laying down to sleep. Then David answered and said, "Ahimelech the Hittite, and to Abishai the son of Zeruiah, and Joab's brother, saying, 'Who will go down with me to Saul in the camp?'" He's going to go to Saul in the camp. "And Abishai said, 'I will go down with you.' So David and Abishai came to the people by night. And behold, Saul lay sleeping inside the circle of the camp. And his spear was stuck in the ground at his head. And Abner and the people were lying all around him." You get the picture of what's going on here? We got a camp down there now. Saul is in the innermost circle where they had to go through all the others before they could get to Saul. Mm-hmm. But now God's going to put a hypnotic trance on all his whole troop. Can you imagine that all of them are sleeping so soundly that they don't see David coming in? Yeah. It's not an accident. "And Abishai said, 'Today God has delivered your enemy into your hand, and now therefore please let me strike him with the spear into the ground with one stroke, and I will not strike him the second time.' And David said to Abishai, 'Do not destroy him, for who can stretch out his hand against the Lord's anointed and be without guilt?'" Do you think that David had every right to kill Saul?
Yes.
Absolutely. Saul had tried to kill him, and he had spared his life so many times, and yet every time he would swear that, "David, I'm not going to do this anymore. You're righteous and I'm not. I'm a sinner, terrible sinner," and he would go do it again. "And David said, 'As the Lord lives,'" now he's swearing by the Lord's God, the God's name of heaven, "'surely the Lord will strike him down. This day will come and that he dies, or he will go down into battle and perish.' The Lord forbid that I should stretch out my hand against the Lord's anointed. And now please take the spear that is at his head and the jug of water and let's go. All they did was take the spear and take the jug of water. So David took the spear and the jug of water from beside Saul's head and they went away. But no one saw or knew anything, nor did anyone awake, for they were all in a hypnotic trance because of the deep sleep from the Lord. God had put them in a hypnotic trance, every one of them. When God put Adam to sleep, he put him in a strong, deep hypnotic trance. The word in Greek is hypnosis. And this hypnotic trance had fallen upon them from the Lord, and the Lord put them to sleep. Then David crossed over into the other side and stood on top of the mountain at a distance with a large area between them. And David called to the people and to Abner, the son of Ner, saying, "Will you not answer Abner?" Abner said, "He's a general." Then Abner answered and said, "Who are you who calls to the king?" So David said to Abner, "Are you not a man who is at like you in Israel? Why then have you not guarded your lord, the king? For one of these people came to destroy the king, your lord. This thing that you have done is not good. As the Lord lives, all of you must surely die, because you did not guard your lord, the king, the Lord's anointed. And now see where the king's spear is, and the jug of water that was at his head." Then Saul recognized David's voice, and he said, "Is this your voice, my son David?" Now he's going to go kill him. He's after him to kill him. He said, "Is this your voice, my son David?" Now, David's own son would try to kill him later. We know that. And David said, "It is my voice, Lord the King. My Lord the King." And he also said, "Why then is my Lord pursuing the servant? Why are you pursuing your servant? Or what have I done? What evil is in my head and in my hand? Now therefore please let my Lord the King listen to the words of his servant. If the Lord has stirred you up against me, let him accept an offering. But if it is men, cursed are they before the Lord, for they have driven me out today, and that I should have no attachment with the inheritance of the Lord, saying, 'Go and serve other gods.' Now then, do not let my blood fall to the ground away from the presence of the Lord. For the king of Israel has come out in search of a single flea, one who hunts partridge in the mountaintops." Then Saul said, "I have sinned. Return, my son David, for I will not harm you again, because my life is precious in your sight this day. And behold, I have played the fool and have committed a serious crime, an error." And David answered and said, "Behold, the spear of the king. Now let the one of the young men come and take it. And the Lord will repay each one of you for his righteousness and his faithfulness, for the Lord delivered you into my hand today. But I refuse to stretch out my hand against the Lord's anointed. Now behold, as your life is highly valued in my sight this day, so may my life be highly valued in the sight of the Lord, and may he deliver me from all of my distress." All of my distress. Then Saul said to David, "Blessed are you, my son David. You will both accomplish much and surely prevail." So David went on his way, and Saul returned to his place. Then David said to himself, "Now I will perish one day by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than to escape into the land of the Philistines." You know what Philistines meant? The word Philistine means uncivilized.
Oh, really?
It means uncivilized. It means uncouth. Saul will there despair of searching for me anymore, and all the territory of Israel I will escape from his hand. So David arose and crossed over, and he and the 600 men who were with him, to Achish, the son of Maach, the king of Gath. Now I want you to know that David had really these 600 men that went with him were tremendous fighters. There were 30 of these men that were just absolute supernatural warriors. And Uriah the Hittite was one of them. I want you to know, Uriah the Hittite was one of these men. Of these 600 men, and he was one of the men. He was David's personal bodyguard. I want you to put that down and note it, okay? And David lived with Achish of Gath and his men, each with his own household. Even David with his own, with his two wives, Ahinoam, the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the Carmelitess, Nabal's widow. Now it was told Saul that David had fled to Gath, and so he no longer searched for him. Just exactly what David thought. If I go over there in the enemy's land, he won't come after me. Then David said to Achish, "If now I found favor in your sight, let them give me a place in the one of the cities of the country, that I may live there. For why should your servant live in the royal city with you?" Now David is going to become a servant of this Philistine. And he's going to be righteous in this Philistine's eyes. So Achish gave Ziklag that day. Therefore Ziklag has belonged to the king of Judah to this day. And the number of days that David lived in the country of the Philistines was 1 year and 4 months. Now David and his men went up and raided the Geshurites and the Girzathites and the Amalekites, for they were inhabitants of the land from ancient times, so he came to Shur, even as far as the land of Egypt. And David attacked the land and did not leave a man or woman alive. And he took away the sheep, the cattle, and the donkeys, and the camels, and clothing. Then he returned and came to Achish. Now Achish says, "Where have you made a raid today?" And David said, "Against the Negev of Judah, and against the Negev of the Jeremelites, and against the Negev of the Kenites." Now he's not telling the truth. He's going and cleaning out the land of the people that God told him to clean the land out with. And David did not leave a man or a woman alive to bring to Gath, saying, "Lest they should tell about us," saying, "He has David done, and so has been his practice all the time." So he lived in the country of the Philistines. So Achish believed David, saying, "He has surely made himself odious among his own people, Israel. Therefore we become my servant forever." He'll have to be my servant forever. Now it came about in those days that the Philistines gathered their armed camps for war to fight against Israel, and Achish said to David, "Know assuredly that you will go out with me in the camp, and you and your men." I don't know what David would have done if he'd actually fought here. But God watched over him. God always watched David's back. Mm-hmm. So David said to Achish, "Very well, you shall know that what your servant David can do." So Achish said to David, "Very well, I will make you my bodyguard for life." Then Samuel was dead. And all Israel had lamented him, and they buried him in Ramah, his own city. And Saul had removed from the land those who were mediums and spiritualists. So the Philistines gathered together and came and camped against Shunem. And Saul gathered all of Israel together, and they camped at Gilboa. When Saul saw the camp of the Philistines, he was afraid, and his heart trembled greatly. He was having tachycardia, cardiac arrhythmia. That's what it says. When Saul inquired of the Lord did not answer him, either by dreams or by Urim or by the prophets. Now, it's going to get real bad. the devil's on Saul's trail all the time too. Then Saul said to his servants, seek for me a woman who is a medium, who is a witch, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servant said to him, behold, there is a woman who is a medium in Endor, or at Endor. And Saul disguised himself by putting on others' clothes and went, and he and two men with him. And they came to the woman by night and said, conjure up for me, please. And bring up for me whom I shall name to you. Now, we know that there are mediums or spiritualists today. And they have seances and sometimes real spirits after them. That's what they call familiar spirits. But right here, this woman has a familiar spirit. She has a demon that works with her. A demon that imitates people. He imitates their lives because demons know every person that ever lived. Why, a demon could flop out here today in some seance and pretend that he was Napoleon Bonaparte with the French language and etc., and sound just like him and know everything Bonaparte did. And so that happens today. We know that. Sometimes it's just foolishness and fakery. But sometimes the most dangerous is real. And the woman said to him, behold, you know that Saul has done, and how he has cut off those who are mediums and spiritless from the land, and why are you here laying a trap for my life, to bring about my death? So Saul vowed to her by the Lord, and now he's swearing by the God of heaven, as the Lord lives, there shall not one, not there shall not be punishment come upon you for this thing. Then the woman said, whom shall I bring up for you? And he said, bring Samuel up for me. Now God is going to intervene here. He's not going to let her demon appear or talk. He's going to send Saul back. And the woman saw Samuel, she cried out with a loud voice, and the woman spoke to Saul, saying, what have you done? You've deceived me, for you are Saul. And the king said to her, do not be afraid. But what do you see? And the woman said to Saul, I see a divine being coming out of the earth. And he said to her, what is his form? And she said, he's an old man coming up. And he is wrapped in with a robe. And Saul knew that it was Samuel, and he bowed down with his face to the ground and did homage. And Samuel said to Saul, why have you disturbed me from bringing me up? And Saul answered, I am greatly disturbed and distressed, for the Philistines are waging war against me, and God has departed from me and answers me no more, either by prophets or by dreams. Therefore, I've called you up that you may make known to me what shall I do. Pretty desperate, isn't he? Then Samuel said, why then do you ask me, since the Lord has departed from you and has become your adversary? He's become your enemy. Now Saul had been chasing David one time after another to kill him, and David did nothing but good to him. Saul was a very disobedient king, and God disowned him. And the Lord has done according as he has spoken to me, that the Lord has torn the kingdom out of your hand and given it to your neighbor, to David. And as you did not obey the Lord and did not execute his fierce wrath on Amalek, so the Lord has done this same to you this day. The Lord put it in the Philistines' heart to go camp against Israel and to kill Saul. He was in the way of God's man. Moreover, the Lord will also give over Israel along with you to the hands of the Philistines. The king of Israel, as the king lived, so if he followed the Lord, God blessed the people. The people could never rise above their king. They could never rise above their king. Whenever David sinned, Israel was punished. When Saul sinned, Israel was punished. Because they were the caretakers over that nation. I've said this in the past many, many years. A church can never rise higher than the pastor. A church can never rise higher than her pastor. It's like being a king, even though the pastor is a servant of the church. The king was supposed to be a servant of Israel. He said, I will give over Israel along with you into the hands of the Philistines. Therefore, tomorrow you and your sons will be with me. You're going to die. Indeed, the Lord will give over the army of Israel into the hands of the Philistines. And Saul immediately fell full length upon the ground and was very afraid because of the words of Samuel. There was no strength in him, for he had not eaten food all day and all night. He was too distressed to eat. When a person becomes very distressed, they either eat a lot or they don't eat anything. And a woman came to Saul, and Saul said he was terrified. She said to him, Behold, your maidservant has obeyed you, and I have taken my life in my hand and have listened to your words which you spoke to me. Now also, please listen to my voice, the voice of your maidservant, and let me set a piece of bread before you that you may eat and have strength when you go out on your way. But he refused. He didn't want a last meal. But he refused and said, I will not eat. However, his servants together with the woman urged him, and he listened to them. So he rose from the ground and sat on the bed and ate. Now the woman was very gracious. She had a fattened calf in the house, in her barn. And she quickly slaughtered it, and she took flour, kneaded it, and baked unleavened bread from it. And she brought it before Saul and his servants, and they ate. Then they rose and went away that night. You can go on television and you can watch judges giving people the death sentence. Some of them scream and holler and fight at the judge, and others just fall and collapse in shock. Saul collapsed at his death sentence. He collapsed. He didn't want to eat. Finally, they urged him, his servants urged him, his warriors urged him. Saul, you can't do anything. You can't protect yourself. You can't do anything unless you get strength. Eat, eat, eat. Even if it's your last meal, eat. We see in people's eyes terror. And we see in our own lives, times that we've gone through, some things that we didn't think we were going to get through, did we? All of you out there. You went through things that you didn't think you were going to live through. We have flashbacks, don't we? Of times when we were like that. When I was going to the seminary, I drove from east of Bakersfield to Bellflower, California every day. And I would go down there, and in the summertime, the fog was so terrible. And sometimes there's 200 and 300 car pileups on the ridge route. I was coming up out of L.A., and it was really, really, really dark. And it was so foggy. And I had my ham radio on, and I had CBN radio channels in the ham radio. And I was listening. And we were coming up over Tajon Pass. We'd come up out of Castaic and going over Tajon Pass. On the other side, truck driver started hollering, wait, stop. If anybody out there, stop. Go out into Meridian. Be really careful. There's cars all over and dead bodies out all over the road. And I slowed down, and I went in there, and I finally, you couldn't see 20 feet. Not a car lane. And I got in there, and I pulled over in the Meridian, and I started going between people. People were all over. Cars were smashed up everywhere. And I got through that alive and without damage. And I got through that, and I started thanking God. If I hadn't had that radio on, I would have been right in the middle of that pileup. But I diverted it. The other side was all right going south, but the northbound was total wrecks. Cars smashed in all over. Little fires burning. Steam coming out of radiators. All over. But God saw me through it, as he saw David. As he saw David. As long as David served God, God just absolutely blessed him beyond. He was in trouble all the time. He was in debt under a contract for his life. And there was plenty of people out there that wanted money from Saul to tell him where his life, where he was, so he could take his life. The devil's always on his trail. The devil on David's trail and on Saul's trail. But God had David's back all the time. Our Father, we send this message out tonight. We pray that you honor your word and that people's lives will be changed by it and that they'll learn to hold close to your hand as you hold them. We don't hold to your hand, you hold our hands. I remember when I walked and held my little daughter's hand, as you hold my hands as I go through life, and all of those out there. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for these examples, these stories, true stories. Father, please touch the people's lives all over the world, and I pray for them, people I don't even know. Father, please forgive me where I failed you.